to the U.S. Fire Journal Podcast. We offer views and opinions on the fire service around the world with no topic too tough to handle. Visit us at usfirejournal.com for all your fire service information. Now, here's your host, Jay.
Good morning. Welcome into the podcast. Today is Saturday. It is September the 23rd. It is 2023, and it's been about 10 days since the last podcast. I want to talk a little bit about my absence. The first thing was the surprise that I was going to reveal a week ago, a little over a week ago. It's still coming, one of the reasons I was laying low is something is being done, and I don't want to jeopardize that by talking about it too soon. I think when it comes out, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be surprised, maybe none more so than some of these incompetent leaders. Also, to be blunt, I've been under the weather a little bit. Dealing with that, and at the end of the day, just didn't feel like doing a podcast on maybe 3, 4, 5 days, owing to one day, I guess, being dehydrated and needing fluids, and then other things that are going on, but we're back, and today, I'm going to talk about something that's been talked about for some time in the fire service, and that's it's akin to crew resource management. It's talking about why people get injured, why people get killed on the fire ground. It's talking about why departments lose property and people. And so we're going to talk about that today, and then I'll answer one or two questions. I will be back tomorrow, and tomorrow I'm going to answer a ton of questions because they've been piling up. Those of you that know already, you know the email address. I won't bother you with that. Continue to send it in. I'm going to try to get through as many questions as I can tomorrow. You know, I went hiking about 6:30, and it was about 50 degrees, I guess. And I was walking along, and I come up over this little rise or ridge. And it was just a beautiful scene, and it hit me, you know, that winter's fast coming, and I just have to get that in there, that winter is coming. And yeah, things are always interesting during the winter, aren't they? Let's get started. You know, part of what I've been doing over the last 9 or 10 days is looking at reports from lawsuits, reports from accidents, reports from firefighters getting injured, reports, line of duty death reports. And, you know, a lot of times, if you have a department, and let's create a fictitious department here. You get a department, and it's relatively, we'll go small because it's easier to talk about that than to scale it all the way up to 50 stations. So it's a small department, and the leadership in it is poor. It just is. There's a lot of disconnect there. There's a lot of people in charge who don't know what they're doing. A lot of people in charge who are really confident of their abilities, but they don't know their disabilities. They don't know what they don't know, or if they do, they simply try to hide it. They lie. And we know people like that. I know I certainly do. And so a lot of these people are overconfident based on their perception of what a fire department is, based on their perception of what should happen on the fire ground, based on their perception. This overconfidence in many other areas of life would show itself through lost profit. It would show itself through high turnover at a convenience store, or lost product in a manufacturing process. It would show itself in many different ways. In the fire service, for it to show up, sometimes it takes a little time. In part because some of these departments and their leaders, they just don't do a lot. Now, you know, I love when people say, yeah, you know, we just don't get fires. And that's typically how they say it. We don't get a lot of fires. Doesn't matter. Unlike an EMS call, one fire can kill 10 firefighters. One fire can kill 10 civilians. One fire can wreck the economy of a small town. All it takes is one fire. If you're in a department that doesn't get a lot of fire, and you know the old saying, well, and this is what some of these clowns who lead these places, this is what they'll say, nobody's getting a lot of fire. As if that's an excuse not to do anything. It's like being a mountain climber, and your buddy says, "Man, nobody falls off of mountains anymore." You look at him and you go, "What the hell are you saying? Come here!" And then you throat punch him for saying something stupid. Here's the thing: whether you get a fire or 100 fires a month. And we'll say you don't get very many. Let's go, you get one fire a month. You got to be right every time. You see, because unlike people who try to focus on EMS at the exclusion of fire, and we all know those little departments that do that, typically, again, led by people who don't know what the hell they're doing, people who've been run off from other places, people who've hidden in places, and suddenly they get to be in charge for a minute. Well, all of it is funny in a way, but deadly serious in others. These people, all they have is the perception of what a fire department should be. So when they say, well, we don't get a lot of fires, to them, that's an excuse for them not to do their jobs. That's an excuse for some data geek who is addicted to power to start micromanaging everybody because, well, you know, we have to arrive within 37 seconds. Well, we have to do this. Well, we have to do that. What that data person is setting that department, that city, that town, that county up for a huge fall. Because at some point, somebody's gonna key into what's going on, and then it's all over. It is. Overconfidence based on the perception of what you have is a killer. Everybody creates mental models. In dysfunctional departments, those mental models are piss poor, to be sure. These people are so lost that they're creating their own mental models that don't match up with anything else. In other words, we all create maps in our mind about where we're going. We have to, or we couldn't move. These people create mental maps where they want the department to go, but they don't break trail. They don't go out in front. There's nothing there for them to pull up from the past. That's why these people key in on things that don't matter. They'll key in on a uniform long before they'll worry about the capability of a RIT team. These people will worry, and I do mean worry, about things that don't matter because their perception of what matters is skewed. In short, they have made a choice to be substandard. Because let's say you want to go mountain climbing again. Let's use mountain climbing again. You can go out to the Rocky Mountain National Park, wherever, somewhere out west. You can go anywhere, but let's pick one of those. Let's pick Rocky Mountain. You can go out there and you can say, you know what, guys, let's climb over here. And you go out and you get lost and you end up dying out there. Why? Because you're a moron. You went out there and thought that, and you've never been mountain climbing, or maybe you have been, but you overestimate your capabilities. So you go out, you get killed. Shame on you. But what happens when you get other people killed who were depending on you? You're a scumbag. That's what you are. You overestimated your abilities. It's not any different with a dysfunctional department. And what's amazing is when all of this goes public for these places, they try their best to throw up flimsy excuses. Well, look, all our guys have this piece of paper. Look at this piece of paper right here. It says they're all certified firefighters. As if that's some great accomplishment. All the certification does is get you in the door. It's what you do once you're in the door that matters. It's what type of training your leaders have put out. It's what type of training your company officers do. Because whether or not the department provides anything to company officers or not, an experienced company officer should be training you. And if they don't, they're not worth the shit as a company officer. And that's just the way it goes. All the talk in the world don't mean a damn thing if somebody's not doing something with it. All that experience is useless if it's not imparted to people. So there's 1,000, 1,000,000 even excuses about why, you know, well, we couldn't do this because, just do it. Just do it. Do your job. Do your job, even if your chiefs or whatever aren't. You'll still be in a better position. More importantly, your people will. You know, if you like diving, scuba diving, and you're leading a group to go out and scuba dive, and you've got some people in there, yeah, maybe they're certified, but they hadn't really done it very often. It's up to you as the person who's leading to make sure that everybody's as safe as they can be in an unforgiving environment. And if you don't, then it's on you. That's what people, you know, people create these mental models. They say, oh, well, I'm going diving, and it'll be cool, and I'll enjoy it. They don't, most often they don't think about what happens if a regulator fails. What happens if I go too deep and try to come up too fast? What if? People say, oh, don't play the what if game. Well, we do that anyway. You might as well make it a what if game that teaches you something. Well, these dysfunctional leaders in the fire department, they have their mental models. You see, they have paper. They have a computer screen, and they look at that, and they go, well, these guys should be doing that, that, and that. But they don't think about what it's like to do that, that, and that while responding to calls. Which is why a lot of these, in certain situations or in certain places, these dysfunctional leaders think they've got it beaten. They've only started. They're only at the very start of their mental agony that they're going to go through because they're going to be exposed. And they're going to have people from all over, experienced, long-standing people who are going to look at the way they've done things and go, this is criminal. This is horrible. Again, if you have leaders, and if they have one solution to every problem, we all hear, you know, if you don't take a sledgehammer to a problem that can be solved with a feather, some people do it anyway. Some leaders do it. They have the same solution to every problem. But if you have the same solution to every problem, you don't have one solution at all. You just don't. Why? It doesn't work. It just doesn't. These mental midgets, they believe, and again, it's overconfidence based on their perception, and they have a horrible habit of perceiving themselves as, quote, the authority, end quote. You know, well, I'm the chief. Are you questioning a chief officer? I would never question a chief officer, but I'm questioning you because you're not a chief officer. You have the title, but you are not a chief officer. These people, instead of learning and fixing, and they won't do it. They have to be forced into solutions. And the best solution for city leaders, county leaders, town leaders is to move these people out. That's what happens. You have to get rid of them. Why? They can't change. They can't. And if they had even an ounce of insight and decided that they wanted to change, they wouldn't do it. Look, in places with dysfunctional leadership, accidents, people getting hurt, people getting killed, losing massive properties to fires, those are leadership issues. Here's the other thing. Some people think this is harsh. I didn't come up with it. I've never thought it was harsh. I just happen to think it's true. Piss poor leaders select piss poor leaders. Yes, every once in a while they might get one right. But you go to a dysfunctional department and you look at it. Most of the leaders that have been chosen are also dysfunctional. It's the way it is. Why? Because they don't value people who are good at their jobs. They value people who fit their mental model. Their mental model may be, well, that person doesn't give me any problems. They always say yes. They're willing to work on anything 24 hours. You know, if I need a wall painted, they're going to be painting it at midnight. And damn it, that's a good leader. No, it's not a good leader. That's a follower. That's all that is. You can have as many followers as you want. You need leaders. You need people who go, I can't paint that wall at midnight because my people are tired. I can't move that giant thing from one side of the station to the other because we're answering calls. Leadership is not the art of always saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. It's the art of saying, let me see how my people are. We'll get something done, but before all of that, before the little passion projects that so many people, and let's face it, that's why a lot of people get promoted. They're willing to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Especially in departments where you have an overconfident leadership who are under-experienced and devoid of what in most fire departments passes for common sense. You want to know why people get hurt on the fire ground while firefighters get hurt? Because the entire department is based on a false mental model. You know, these leaders, those types of leaders in dysfunctional departments, they don't care about who can fight fire. They don't care about who can judge people good on a medical scene. They're more worried about people who, quote, sound good on the radio, end quote. They're more worried about people appearing to be good than actually being good. Because if they hire experienced people, those experienced people are going to turn around and look at them and go, you don't know what the hell you're doing. And they can't have that. See, that destroys their faulty mental model. And it happens over and over. Someone the other day asked me, they said, you know, why do people who are victims of poor leadership, like some, you know, firefighter goes out, gets injured because of poor leadership, why do they always, almost always say, man, our leaders are great. You know, I'm all about them now. Well, yeah, you can bet there have been studies on it. There have. Lots of people are worried. That's the way it works. They get hurt. They're worried about losing their job, losing their livelihood, whatever. And so instead of saying, you know what? I got hurt because our department doesn't know what we're doing. We just don't. There's no organized training. There's no organized anything. We basically get on scene and we run around till the fire goes out. That's basically what we do. Instead of those people taking the opportunity to affect change, some of them will forfeit every right they have, every right everybody else has, just to be able to have somebody say, "You're a good dude." They get suckered in because they believe the payoff is them having a long career. Things are going to be great now. What they don't realize is they'll be right back in the shitter with everybody else. Except now they have a target on them. They have a big bullseye on them. Sometimes they don't realize it until it's too late. But that's how life works. That's how the fire service works sometimes. If you don't take advantage. Now, other people get hurt and they say everything right that they're supposed to say. I love this place. We're going to do it. And then behind the scenes, they're working very hard with different people to affect change. And they will. A lot of those people are underestimated. And great things are going to happen in places like that. Because those people that have been hurt, the family members, everyone else, whomever, they're gonna impact bad departments. Because ultimately, when people are hurt on scene, and it's looked into, if it's a dysfunctional department, those injuries have come about as a result of operational dysfunction. Oftentimes, I know I was at a conference 7-8 years ago, maybe, and just an outstanding operational firefighter. He said, "Have you ever listened to the radio traffic of a department that struggles on scene?" He said, "It would be comical if it weren't so deadly." He's right. He's absolutely right. If you listen to a department that's dysfunctional on the scene of a working fire, and don't mistake me, I'm not talking about just needing to be calm, cool, and collected. You can be calm, cool, and collected and still put people in the wrong positions. You still kill people. That's not what I'm talking about. But it is a panic. Being scared is a good thing. Panic never is. But there's people walking all over each other. There's telecommunication, the dispatchers, and everybody else. They're stepping on people constantly. Nobody knows what's going on. In short, if you took away all the radios, you'd have the same result. You would. You'd still have people panicking. Eventually the fire would go out because guess what? It can only burn so much. You'd still end up with injured or killed people. You'd still end up with massive property loss. There's an interesting article that's going to come out about just such a fire. Just such a fire. Where the overconfident leaders, and not just at the very top, but the overconfident leaders who have these mental models that are flawed led to a person or persons being injured, massive property loss, and none of it need happen. Let's not forget the company officer's role in this. Let's not forget that. The company officer is the one who sets the company policy. Fire department policy is set by those at the top. You can look at a company officer, and you can see how that company officer behaves, how they act, how they do things. And that will tell you a lot about their training or lack thereof, their experience or their lack thereof, their ability to not have to think. And here's something else too. And I know people don't like this, but it's absolutely true. It just is. In emergency situations, if you have to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, if you can't ad lib a fart, you and your people are in deep trouble. It's just the way it is. You know, think about a pilot. When a pilot is learning to fly, after a pilot has become experienced, what do they rely on before takeoff, after takeoff, before landing, after landing? Checklists. Step one, turn the heater on. Step two, de-icer, so on and so forth. These pilots continue to do these checklists throughout their whole career. Why? Because it assists the pilots. It just does. These are mental models that are backed up by written procedures, and they're necessary. There are emergency checklists. You lost an engine. Pull out the one engine loss checklist. Okay. That pilot has somebody beside them that can do that, or they have a flight engineer that can do it. But what happens when something happens just like that, and there's no time to pull out a checklist? There's no time to go through steps 1 through 11 before you engage something. A lot of people say that's when a pilot becomes a real pilot, because they have to be an ultimate problem solver. So the checklists are great, the written procedures, you're drilled and drilled and drilled on them. Even so, you have to be able to ad lib. If things just aren't making sense, if your instruments aren't telling you the whole story, what do you rely on? Your experience and your training. Something doesn't look right. You're climbing, but you should be climbing. You got a nose up altitude or attitude, excuse me, nose up attitude, and you should be climbing. And instead, you're sinking. What the hell's wrong? Maybe you're stalling. As a company officer, as a battalion chief, as a division chief, whatever, it's the same thing. You are relying on your written procedures that you have gone over and over. A lot of people, in dysfunctional departments, they never train. Not once with multiple companies. Because they'll say, well, we ain't got that many and we can't. Yes, you do. You can do it. You don't want to. You got company officers that don't want to. But that means you also have company officers that don't care about their people. Period. You have to train. And not just on hooking to a damn hydrant. Some people, that's their training. Let's go out and hook to a hydrant today. Okay. You know, this is what we did last month. Yeah, that's what we're going to do next month too. Because with the company, I was like, well, I don't have to do anything. I can just stand here and watch. You need to go over multi-company operations in order for it to be smooth. Pilots don't get better by not landing and not taking off. Firefighters don't get better by not practicing the very basics. How many times have you done training around your station where you get in the truck, crank the truck, pull it out, jump off the truck, and come inside and do a search? Probably not that often if you're not in a good department. More likely what you do is you stand around, everybody will put on an air pack, and the two youngest guys get to crawl around on the floor while the other guys make fun or say, oh, come over this way. And then your training's done. That's not training to live or training to save a life. Just isn't. And if you're a firefighter and your company officer's not training you that way, look for another place. Because the company officer and the chief officers haven't trained the company officers appropriately. Now, I had somebody tell me the other day, and it's somebody who's not a firefighter, by the way, is involved in a, I don't know, a legal profession maybe, and said, here's something. What happens when you have a bunch of firefighters who come from different places and they're put in charge of things? How do they get on the same page? Great question. Command training. It's the only way you get on the same page. And not command training once a year. And not command training twice a year. It's company officer training. It's familiarization training. It's getting together once, twice a month at a minimum. Company officers, a battalion chief, and going, you know what, guys? This is what we're going to try to do in this situation. This is what we're going to try to do in this situation. Instead of pulling up at a scene and everybody's panicking. And everybody's going, well, we need to pull a line over here. No, no, we need something over here. In good departments, that's unheard of. You got to fight the fire. You got to go inside. You got to vent the roof if necessary. You got to do it all in a coordinated manner. Now, how do you coordinate anything if you never train on that coordination? How does a pilot land a plane if they never land the damn plane? Can't get good at anything if you're not doing it. You just can't. And somebody's going to be catastrophically injured and somebody's going to die in those situations. Some departments, some of these dysfunctional departments, they get a harsh warning. And you know what they do? Nothing. They don't change a damn thing. It's still the same old show up, sit in a recliner, show up, let's do projects. Let's paint something today. No, man, we got to show these leaders that we care. You already showed them you care by showing up. Because that's all they do. They just show up. It's going to be hard times for some of these places. Well, that's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with a lot of questions and answers. Until then, stay safe.